Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 40, verse 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord.
Remain standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, King David, pray, and he said, Blessed art thou, Lord, teach me thy statutes. And Lord, we as a church body are blessed, and we cry aloud with King David, teach us today thy statutes. We are grateful that as a body of believers, we meet together to worship you, to praise your name, and to learn from your word so that our life each day grows closer and closer to the life of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that in the church of the living God, there is no discrimination or distinction. We are children of God from every nation and every tongue around the world. And we are glad, Father. The gospel is not the property of a church. The gospel belongs to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you that today we're going to read the Bible. Already we praise you, and the choir will continue to praise you again. And then, Father, we're going to look upon those beatitudes of Jesus and see what he expected, actually see the challenge that he will present to us as we claim ourselves to be children of God. Lord, the church had missionaries, actual people. Not only we have CD ministries and tape ministry and radio ministry at this moment, they are listening, and then also people who are listening at this moment in the internet around the nation and around the world, but also we have actual families in different countries of the world. And we pray for Fred and Carol Lewis, especially for Fred, as he is ill and no diagnosis yet on what is wrong with him. Father, for Carol and Ruth Knott, who work in Seville, Spain, for Eusebio and Marisa Perez, who are in Malaga, Spain, for David and Denise Rode, who are in Papua New Guinea, for Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, California, and for the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, California. Daniel and Miriam Lacey, as they are driving from Canada home, they are flying from Canada home today, as Danny has attended the race Friday and Saturday. And then from Marta Ferretti in Argentina in the Drug Addict Center, where those people have a light and hope as Marta read the Bible and challenge them to work. Thank you, Lord, that you provide these missionaries for us, and we look forward to put more missionaries in our list for the coming church year. And we have looked to some of them, and Father, we pray for wisdom in selecting them and encourage them into the ministry of the gospel. We thank you, Lord, that today you brought my wife together with me. I'm so grateful. So grateful, Father. A man strengthens his wife. And I'm grateful that you relieve certain problems. We are not out of the wood, Father, but give Dr. Levinson tomorrow a good mind to understand the sickness and to see the development of a healthy body. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the girls who came in vacation and end up working every day in the house. Thank you, Father, for family. That is the best. Family. That's what you created. That's what Satan wanted to destroy, the family. But there is nothing better. There is nothing better for a pastor than to stand and to say, I have a family who believe in you and who is together. So bless the families of this church. Bless the families of America, Father, that they may understand that God wants the best for them. And now, Lord, you have been faithful and are faithful to our commitment. You provide for us continually, and we are grateful for the offering, and we are grateful for the people who gave in Bethel. And Lord, we have learned that Mrs. Forrest's person who take care of her is very, very, very sick. And now the family has to come and take turn and take care of Mrs. Forrest, who is confined to a bed due to cancer. Lord, we pray that you enable that family to be sure what they are doing and to be sure that they take care of the situation. And for Tara, Lord, that lady from Fiji, we pray that you have mercy on her. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to fellowship together. In Jesus, we are thankful. Amen. You may be seated, please.
Your eyes and look around you. Are there signs? lost to Jesus.
One.
We must tell them of God's love. Take your cross, bear the shame. Only go in Jesus' name. We must bring the lost to Jesus one by one.
Go with boldness as you witness in the strength that God supplies.
Soon our Savior will reward us when He calls. One by one, we must tell them of God's love. Take your cross, bear the shame, boldly go in Jesus' name. We must bring the lost to Jesus one by one. Shine the light into the darkness. Share the message of God's love.
Christ has died for our redemption. Now He reigns in heaven above.
On this earth I have one mission, to bring glory to my Lord.
Choir, will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 563. We will be reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. It's Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you, first of all, for the Lord Jesus Christ and the work he finished on this earth 2,000 years ago on our behalf, dying on the cross and enduring the wrath that is due us for the punishment of our sins. We thank you for your mercy in revealing the eternal values you have established in your word so that we may know what is evil and what is good, showing this by the example of our changed lives. Lead us into deeds of mercy for all people. We pray for wisdom and strength to proclaim the good news of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ and to love our neighbors, believers, and unbelievers alike. We thank you that Mrs. Otero is recovering from her illness and is here with us today, Pastor's good helper. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. We ask for the continued guidance of the Holy Spirit as Pastor brings the message from the truths of your word. May we take that word to heart every moment that we might not sin against thee. Bless those that are listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that they also may be spiritually nourished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother, for the reading of God's word. And may I encourage you to open your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 5. Just briefly, before we look upon the scripture, I want to thank you for your prayers and direction toward the illness my wife had and still, we are on the way out. We are still in the woods, but we are on the way out and takes a little longer. But I'm so glad she's right here. And a man without a wife, he cannot operate. And it's so good to have the support. And I want to thank again the girls, because when they were little, there were a lot of work for us to keep them at home for a month. But turned to be in the reverse today. They work hard. One, the dishes, the other, these, the other, helping cooking. Miriam has done a great work, Miriam and Danny, with them. And my heart is approved, because a pastor, as it has to be a teacher, but the first condition of a pastor is that he needs to have a home in perfect control with God. And I am so thankful for God's grace upon my life. Now, let's go back to the Beatitudes. In the Beatitudes, which we have just considered, we have eight facets of the Christian character, as you remember. And I go over them so that this is what is the Christian character supposed to be. In Matthew 5, verse 3, we have an emptiness. We do not come to God with excuses. We come to God empty to see what he says. The second beatitude was in Matthew 5, 4, brokenness. When we stand empty before God, we have not only no excuses, but no excuses before yourself. The way you are is because of sin, period. It's not because of your great-great-great-grandfather. Actually, it's because our great-great-great-grandfather Adam. Yes, you can say that. But we are broken before God. In verse 5, selflessness. That's another beatitude that Jesus told us. No focusing our life on ourselves, but in him. Verse 6, honesty. Focusing ourselves on the law of God. Verse 7, tenderness, mercy. Remember the compassion that God had on you. And now you should exercise that compassion with others. In verse 8, the sixth beatitude, holiness. And actually that beatitude said this, character matters. Young people, it's not your diploma that one day you will get from the university. Character matters. And then verse 9, beatitude number 7 was peacefulness. Relationship matter. If it's possible for you to be at peace with all. And then verse 10, faithfulness. Faithful to God regardless. So eight beatitudes who built that ladder that goes from the ground to heaven, and they are there in your life. Then the Master Jesus moved on to show that Christian character leads to Christian conduct. Christian character leads to Christian conduct. What a believer is inwardly will be revealed outwardly in terms of their life conduct. That's what the scripture said. What you are inside will come out and will reveal who you are. To begin with, the Lord Jesus was teaching that there are two aspects of the Christian witness which result from this blessedness that we have. One is a spiritual influence. Look at in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. A spiritual influence. The other is a spiritual radiance. A speaking of the light. Look at verse 14. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the world. You bring influence into the world. And then you are the light of the world. Let us examine today the second aspect in the life of our Christian experience as we witness to people. As you witness to people, remember this, you are the light of the world. And I'm so glad the choir seen today, save one by one, because that light had to be done one by one, and you will see what I mean when I make the conclusion. I'd like to show you in the scriptures in reference to light three things. First, the figure of light, then the function of light, and then the failure of light. One, the figure of light, then the function of light, and then the failure of light. Let's work together. The figure of light. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. Well, what is the source of a spiritual light? There are three aspects of this. First, for the gospel. If you turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and in verse 6, you will see that in order to understand the gospel, you need the light from God. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, that's Genesis 1, who has shone in our heart, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, who was a philosopher, made reference to Genesis 1:3, when God shined the light and the universe becomes now visible. And then he said, in the same way that God shined his light and the universe became visible, in the same way he shone his light on your heart. And when he did, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus, he gave you Jesus by focusing on Jesus into your heart. God shined his light right on into your heart through the word of God. And deal with only one thing, the Lord Jesus Christ. He focused about Jesus and he shined that in the figure of the light is this, that in order to understand the gospel and only to see God, we need the light from God into our heart, then we will see it. It is not the university that will give you this. It is not the seminary that will give you this. When I was in seminary many times, and we had on the last year a speak every day in chapel, I wondered if some of the students were saved for what they said. They were great theologians. But you know, the heart is what matters. And unless you have the light from God, you cannot see God. That's something that mankind is amazing. Amazing. The figure of light, the gospel. The gospel is the light that penetrates into our heart and let us see God. Secondly, for salvation. If you turn your Bible to John Gospel 6:40, page 626. John Gospel chapter 6 and verse 40. If you are using the Bible in the pew, it's page 626. Gospel of John 6 And verse 40, look at what Jesus says. And this is the will of him that sent me, who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him at the last day. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. The gospel. The gospel is the light that penetrates and makes see God. Salvation comes when we can see Jesus. That's what the verse says. That everyone who sees the Son and believes in him have everlasting life. No may have, no could have, but have everlasting life. You need to see the Son. There are people, many, who are willing to listen to the gospel as long as you don't touch Jesus. There are people who have problems with Jesus. I tell you, everybody has problems with Jesus. I did have problems with Jesus. Because it's an unbelievable story. The Son of God, God himself on this earth. But that's the only way that the light of God will shine into your heart. When you see Jesus and you believe in him, a Sunday school lesson today deal with that issue. Not only did you see what Jesus did, that you see what Jesus is, that you see what Jesus have done, but you believe in him, then you got the light. And also you need a light for testimony. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, page 690. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 8, page 690 in the Bible. The figure of life. For the gospel, God penetrates into your heart and give you life. For salvation, you see Jesus and believe. And for testimony, look at what Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 8, page 690. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. And what the apostle said, walk as children of light. And so here we have the figure of light used by God. As you know, light is a combination of the seven colors known to mankind. Maybe mankind has traveled in this space, knows other colors, but there are only seven colors, natural colors. And as you put it all together, it becomes the light that you see. I want to tell you this. The God has put light into our hearts, has shown us Jesus, and now he's saying in the lips of the Apostle Paul, we need to walk as children of light in our relationship at home, in our relationship in our work, in our relationship, wherever we go, we need to shine and we need to demonstrate that we have the light of God in our heart. And the only demonstration of that is not by repeating texts of the scripture, is not by bombarding people with the gospel, is by leaving the light of God into our heart. Expose people to the light. Be a flame of light from the scripture with kindness and meekness and joy in your life. Sometimes you need a lot of patience. Sometimes you need a lot of tenderness. All the character that God has given you on those eight beatitudes, you need to exhibit them. And when you exhibit them, you are children of light. The figure of light. Now the function of light. If you go back to Matthew 5, you will see what verse 16 says. In Matthew 5 and in verse 16, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men. You are the light of the world for the gospel, for salvation, for testimony. And now the Bible says in verse 16, let your light so shine before men. Well, Let's look into the detail of this. Number one, you must shine privately. Look at verse 15. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand and give light to all who are in the house. Do you see it? The first function of the light is that you must shine. and you must shine privately in the house. It's not the hardest place to shine, in the house. Sometimes you lose your cool, some people said. Oh, I answer this way to my wife, I lose my cool. Other people will say, well, I'm weak. The home is the testing ground of our Christian experience, really. How we treat our wife, how the wife treat the husband, how we treat our children. Are we reasoning with them? Are we training them? Remember, train up your child. Are we training them? Training is much harder than teaching. I remember sitting when I was young, 16, 17 years old, in the classroom, in the stadium, and the coach will teach a play, but then go up and play the play. That was very hard. But you just forgot what I told you 5 minutes ago, he said. I told you not to walk over there, and you did. Oh, I forgot, you know. It's not the home the hardest place to shine. Of course, nobody sees it, but it's the hardest place to shine. And Jesus said clearly, let your light so shine before men. Where? In verse 15, he said, and give light to all who are in the house. And when you behave and shine the light of Christ with those 8 beautiful beatitudes, then you enlighten your house. You give light to your house. You must shine privately. Number 2, you must shine publicly. Look at verse 14. You are the light of the world. Publicly. All right? You want to know a guy who really shined publicly? Move your Bible to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, page 641. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, page 641. You must shine in the world. Here the story is the Apostle John and Peter were preaching. They put them in jail for preaching Jesus Christ. Remember what the Bible said? You teach Christ. And they put, Satan knows that, and they put them in jail. Then they're out of jail. And then you have to understand this. America doesn't have the church controlling the government, but in the world that was the system. And so the Sanhedrin, the board of directors of the Jews, control the government. And they have a foreign governor, Pilate. And then as they go on, these board of directors of Israel, they are mad. And they take these people to court. They have the right, the church at that time, to take the people to court. We told you not to preach in the name of Christ. And then look at verse 11. In answer to the court, Peter said, this is the stone which was rejected by your builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. He makes a quotation of a psalm. He said, no, there is salvation in any other. He said, gentlemen, you told me to shut up about Jesus. He said, there is no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we might be saved. Now, they're answering to the prosecutor in court. Now, these people were very well-trained people. They were doctors of the law. And you know Peter and John, they have a fishing company. Is that right? They were expert fishers. I mean, like Russ, if I go fish, I don't get anything. I get sick. But, you know, people knows what to do. And these people knew what to do. They go on a boat and they knew exactly what to do. They know nothing about the law, but they knew Jesus. Russ and I talked today before Sunday school. That's what we needed. We need to believe in him. That's what we needed. And we need to believe in him. And they believe in him. And they tell him, he said, there is no other name, gentlemen. Now, what the court said, now look at verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, don't worry, man, if somebody treats you like that, they marveled. And they realize that they have been with Jesus. You know, I don't care how educated we are, but I want people to marvel that I have been with Jesus.
that you have been with Jesus. That is the key. You want your students, your children to study hard. But the most important part is that when they go to school, people will look to them and say, boy, these guys really have been with Jesus. And the way they are. And so when in the Gospel of Matthew, again, we are encouraged to shine publicly. In verse 14, it says in chapter 5, you are the light of the world. That's what God said. The people need to see, know our knowledge, know our diplomas, but they need to see that we have been with Jesus. You can be with Jesus every time you want to. It's not that Jesus is going to come through the roof and say, here I am. No, those things not. That's a word. You go in the Word of God, and you will get Jesus. You will read the Word of God. Either you get it in prophecy. Either you get it in a vision of the prophecy. You read in Ezekiel, the vision of the Lord to Ezekiel and so on. Or you read it in the Gospels. You want to be with Jesus. Yes, Hebrews 10:7 said, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. And you get it. And so here is the beauty. You must shine publicly by showing people that you have been with Jesus. Your reactions to it, your expertise and how to listen and answer. People need to see that behind those words and behind our actions, there is Jesus. It is a challenge, the sermon today. Really, I'll tell you. It is a challenge. The function of the light. You must shine privately. You must shine publicly. And if you go and read verse 15, you must shine purposely. Look at verse 15. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand and give light to all who are in the house. You must shine purposely. You don't have a flashlight if it's all dark, and then you put it under... under a bushel, which was a basket of bread. You don't put it under a bushel. You just put it on the top. That's what he said. You must have a purpose for this. Now, I want to tell you this. Light does many things. Let me share three of them. Light dispels darkness. Move your Bible to John Gospel again, to chapter 8 and verse 12. You're in Matthew. If you move just a little bit to the right, you find... The Gospel of John, chapter 8 and verse 12. Light dispels darkness. Jesus spoke to them saying, this is Jesus in the temple, I am the light of the world. He who follow me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Light dispels darkness. Is the universe a mystery to you? Just go to the Bible and find the truth on God's word revealed, and you will have light on it. Is family relationship a mystery to you? Just go to the Bible and find from the Bible exactly what you need to do in the family. Is your work experience very hard and dark? Just go to the Bible. And in 1 Corinthians 10, they tell you how much you can work and how you need to work. In other words, light dispels darkness. The problem with mankind is that they use a light that is not on to trying to find out what the truth is. This light is on. See? If you have a light in your home, it says, bring me the flashlight, and you never turn it on, you don't find anything. But if you turn it on, you find it. Light dispels darkness. Light discovers danger. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13, page 690. Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 13. Light discovers danger. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. You got a problem? You got something unresolved? You have something really difficult? Just flash the light of God's word in Ephesians 5 and in verse 13, and you will discover what is dangerous or not. But all things are exposed, it said here, the scripture, or reproved, if you want to, and are made manifest by the light. Light dispels darkness. Light discovers danger. Light determines direction. Let's go to the Old Testament, to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, page 389. Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 18, page 389. Light determines direction. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Amazing. Really amazing. The path of the just, the believer, is like the shining sun. Yesterday was a very tough day, about 100 and something here at Morning Hill. And in the afternoon, I was moving around in my home, and I don't even dare to come to church. I came late, about 5 o'clock, to review something because I knew the trailers would be boiling. I tell you, you cannot look. I have sunglasses, but you still cannot work peacefully because the x-rays went through. I tell you, the sun was so powerful yesterday. There was unbelievable powerful overrule your pupils. And here the text says, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter. And not fantastic? The function of the light. You must shine privately in your home. You must shine publicly in the world. And you must shine with purpose. You don't have the light of the gospel just because you have the light of the gospel. There is a purpose. And the purpose is to bring light into the world and into your life. Now the failure of light. You never thought that there is a failure of light. If you move your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, you have Matthew's and then Mark in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 8. And in verse 16, there is mention here the failure of light. In Luke Gospel chapter 8 verse 16, I will read, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or put it under the bed. Now, the word vessel that I read in the New King James is bushel in the correct translation. And a bushel is a basket, 3 feet cubics, with bread. And so the Bible said, no one, when he has lit a lamp, when you have a lamp on, covers it with a bushel. Bread. You know, you go now to the store and you select. I marvel the amount of bread that you can select in America. Bread from Santa Cruz, bread from San Francisco, the bread, potato bread. You just go crazy. Which bread is the right bread, you know? And those times, the bread came from Mama working on the oven. All right, it was a hard work. They had to get the corn, they had to thrash it, they had to go from scratch to a piece of bread. And so, bread for the Jewish people this time means business. When you have a piece of bread, you have Mama 2 hours work behind. All right? When I went to England, I had the pleasure that the lady of the house will get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to make me bread. Of course, now you don't have to thresh anything. You have those machines, Panasonic machine. You put all the ingredients. But still, she got up at 4 o'clock, and by 5:30, I have a, when I get up, she wants me to have that bread and the butter and the tea and the hot milk like the British. She wanted to make a British out of the Spanish. But it was delicious. A bushel represent business. That bushel that was there that Luke referred to, no one has lit a lamp and covered it with a bushel. That bushel represents the business of yesterday. Mama has work yesterday, has, or whoever prepared this has work, and represent to me the daily business of our life. And the Bible said here, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with the business of his life. You know, I learned early in my life, Isaiah 58 tell us that you cannot use Sunday, the day of the Lord, for any of your business. We had to do a remodeling in our home, and the man said, can we come on Sunday? No, sir, you can't. Well, I have to delay 1 or 2 weeks. Delay all the time you want to, but on Sunday, on a dead body, you walk in my, work in my home. Unless it's an emergency, like a doctor, Russ sometimes call an emergency for electrical purposes, and some of you are called for an emergency, unless it's that, which is an action of mercy, which the Bible entitled you to do, there is no way that you can cover your life with business. I never let it. I never let it in my life cover my life with business on the day of the Lord. There will be no business on the day of the Lord. I had a light, and when I explained these people who were believers, so you mean on Sunday nobody works? As the Bible says, if you want to survive, otherwise, mystery is ahead. He said, oh, no. He said, every day is the day of the Lord. Yes, sir. But there is one day. There is one day when we God demands worship. When I work as an engineer and work in different areas in a submarine, if you work on Sunday, you get a special pay. I never did. I never did. Because I tell you, the day of the Lord is the day of the Lord. And they, you have a light, my friend. You have a light. You have a light. Now, I want to mention people in the church because we are a family. Our brother Murphy, one time, years and years ago, cannot come to church, was sick. And he left his car in his driveway, and the neighbor noticed. And he knew that something was wrong because he was not in church that day. Now, that's the light. That's the light. There's more impact. Our brother Murphy has spoken stronger 100,000 times as he went with the Bible and preached to his neighbor. His neighbor knew that he pulled off from Friedman and drive 45 miles to his church. And saw the car years ago, and Murphy shared with me that the neighbor was concerned. Maybe he's sick. Now, that's the style the world needs to see, my brother. That's what our brother, our world needs to see. The failure of light. When you have the light of Christ and you put your business on the top of your light, you fail. And you block the light. Secondly, look in verse 16. You say, cover it with the vessel or put it under the bed. Laziness. Under the bed, laziness. You know, the best picture of a lazy person is right here in the book of Proverbs in chapter 26, page 400. Book of Proverbs, chapter 26. And I think it is a remarkable thing that you will enjoy. Chapter 26, verse 14. Look at God, it's funny. You know, people say, oh, the Bible. You read the Bible, you learn few tricks. Look at what Proverbs 26 verse 14 says. The bed represents laziness. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. Come on. Let me do it right here. People who are listening, they cannot do what I said, but I want to open this door. You know what I mean? As a door turns into his hinges, go nowhere, is that right? Go nowhere, stay here. I close it, stay here. So lazy people do that. They turn one side of the bed and touch the other side of the bed. It's God funny. You know, that's how it is. People are lazy. That's what it is. And that's a failure. If you are lazy, you block your light. You block your light. The bed represents laziness. You break all the power of your life. So here it is. I want to conclude with an example from my childhood. I was 12 years old when this happened in my life. But I want you to see this because it's very important. But let me tell you this, a summary of this. Jesus gave us 8 Beatitudes. That's our character. Now he said, with this character, this is the way I want you to live. It's not a challenge. I want to share 3 or 4. until the end of the month, and then I start in the book of Psalms. But I tell you something. The first is, I am light in my house. I am a light in my public life. Wherever I go, I will not lose control. I will keep cool, calm, and corrected so that I testify for the Lord Jesus. Sometimes you cannot do that, you know. They irritate you to the maximum, but keep it to yourself, all right? And then you must shine with purpose. I have this light. So the choir sing today, so that one by one, people could come to Jesus. That's exactly right. What a great song. Now, when I was a child, my section of the city, which I live, was lighted not with bright mercury lights that illuminate today, but with gas lamp. I don't know if some of you are old like me, and you have in the city, there were no light in South America, and there were gas lamps. And there was no electric switch to turn them all simultaneously. There was no a company who moved a switch and all the lights of the city were on simultaneously. Instead of that, a lamp lighter strolling down the street each evening at dusk lit each one individually. There was a guy with a big stick going around, you know, and at each corner and different and zigzag was a candle. And he will go and lit this one, and lit the other one. He made his way back and forth down the street. And I knew that at 5:30 on winter will be dark in South America, in Buenos Aires, because it's, you know, close to parallel 24 there on the South Pole. And he will make the way, and I will ask my mother permission to go on the street and stand to see it. I just was fascinated by that. He made his way back and forth down the street. I watched him bring each lamp to a soft yellow glow, then move on to the next. After a few minutes, he disappeared into the deepening twilight, and I could no longer make him at where he was. But you know something? I would always know where he was by the avenue of lights that he left behind him. I cannot see him anymore, but I saw all the lights, and I saw the avenue of lights there. As I prepare this sermon, I said, I wonder, as we walk this life that God has given us, how many lights that we left behind us. Are we the light of the world? Maybe people cannot see us any longer because we move from that town or we change works. But we have left in that place an avenue of lights of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. They don't see us anymore. They cannot touch us anymore. But they can see that when we've been there, we have lights. And those lights now are there. May God challenge you and challenge me to be light in the world. Father, we talk about the first step in our Christian conduct, which is to be light in the world. We are not the important. Light is the important part. We are not we want them to remember. We want them to remember the light that we left in their hearts and life. And Father, the most important part of our life is to shine that light of Jesus and move on. Help all of us. Help all of us to shine for the Master. In a way that when we move on to another step in our life, we left behind an avenue of lights that tells people about Jesus. Oh, give us grace to do it. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Bless thee and keep thee. The Lord may his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.